from San Diego, California. This is the Frug Life Podcast, the show that teaches you how to save, invest, and earn money. Here's the host, Mr. Frugal himself, Ricky Hirsch.
Welcome to the Frug Life. Today, I wanted to talk about a TikTok video I saw. And no, Mr. Frug is not on TikTok still. You know, back when the app was still called Musical.ly, I became slightly interested in it, and it was all this lip syncing, and I don't know, it was a bunch of nonsense. And so I kind of wrote it off as not being anything. And of course, now TikTok is huge, and maybe I need to become involved. So I guess I was kind of wrong on that. So maybe don't listen to me for social media advice, just personal finance advice. Anyways, I saw this TikTok video, and it was so dumb. Here's what happened. A woman and a boy both put $20 down on a table. And then it says, and the woman was going to buy the $40 with $30, and that, quote, both of them have now made $10. Now, of course, that doesn't work. The woman put down $50 to get $40, and the boy put down $20 to get $30. So really, just $10 went from the woman to the boy. All right, that's all it is. There's no magic way that you can put money down on the table between two people and create more money. That's not how this works. The game is nonsense. The TikTok video is nonsense. The game they're playing, by its very nature, is a zero-sum game. In essence, the gains of one player are at the expense of the other player. Now, there's a lot of zero-sum games in the world. In general, you know, the derivatives markets are zero-sum games. If you engage in Forex trading, for example, as you win, someone else is losing. Now, of course, there's reasons that you may want to engage in derivatives trading if you want to, like, lower your risk or something like that. So in some ways, it's not a perfect example. But if you are just a speculator, I would say it definitely is a zero-sum game. Some people even assert that the economy itself is a zero-sum game, that the prosperity of one group of people will be at the expense of another. And personally, I don't think this is really the case. I think that's a little extreme. Sometimes I think everyone can win. And a market like this, I think, is the stock market. That actually, as more people invest in the stock market, people don't lose out. It's actually good for the market, right? More investors means the market is more liquid. Perhaps there's more return to be had. If there's more investors, there's definitely more capital. And that means more projects can be funded, which will drive further returns. So as you make money in the stock market, no one else needs to lose money. The stock can just appreciate in value. All right, let's take a quick break. Welcome back. So I wanted to talk about another dumb thing I heard recently. I was listening to the Stacking Benjamins podcast, and they were talking about zodiac signs and being born under which zodiac sign makes you richer. And they were saying some zodiac signs have some sort of correlation with wealth. And you know what? The answer to this is really simple, and they didn't say it, but there's a factor that affects both which zodiac sign you're born under and will impact your wealth. And surprise, surprise, it's when you're born. So there's a few phenomena that take place regarding the time of year you're born. One example is if you look at, like, hockey players, I think, nearly all of them are born in the same, like, three-month window or something like that. It's crazy. But the essence of it is that the kids that start the hockey season older than the others excel more, they get more time with the coach, and they move on and do better overall. So it starts out with just a little bit of bias, right, that the hockey players that are 6 months older than their peers are a little bit bigger, they do a little bit better, and then through coaching and through time, they become even better. So that's one factor that could be some similar phenomena with money. I'm not exactly sure what it would look like. But also, zodiac signs correlate with years. So some years are going to have people that are older and more accomplished in life than other years. And that's just kind of how it goes. You might be comparing some millennial who was born in the middle of the Great Recession and had kind of this period where they were catching up versus someone who was born just 10 years earlier and had a lot more time to excel. And just, you know, anecdotally, the labor market has changed quite a bit. At least my local labor market has changed quite a bit. Here in San Diego, as an unskilled child, well, not child, I'm saying like 16-year-old kid, you could get a job here, no problem. Now, when I was a kid and, you know, around the Great Recession, it was difficult to get even a minimum wage job. The competition, I think, was pretty strong at the time. Versus today, I mean, you can literally walk into any store, I think, any restaurant, and get a minimum wage job if you wanted, no problem. So I think it's pretty easy to see, though, that the time you're born is going to affect your wealth. All right, let's take one last quick break, and we will resume with the final segment of the show. All right, welcome to the final segment of the show. So in summary, you know, there's a lot of information out there on the internet that isn't very good or isn't very helpful or is a little bit dumb. Not to be rude to the Stacking Benjamins guys. They run a show that's way bigger than mine. But, you know, sometimes, frankly, I kind of find it boring. If you want my over-cynical opinion of the show, it's where a bunch of guys read the news and make dad jokes, and then they claim that their show is like a very unfunny comedy show, I guess. Like, I always think it's kind of a weird disclaimer if you are in the personal finance space and then you say that your content is for entertainment purposes only. I mean, it's not the most reassuring disclaimer, right? I'd like my advice from someone who isn't a bad comedian. Again, not to make fun of the guys, though. They've, you know, infinitely more successful than me as content creators. And also, I mean, there's a reason the show, my show, isn't a weekly anymore. Part of it is that I don't have infinite material, right? I always want to try to make things around something I found interesting. Although I guess in this case, it's been the opposite of that. The other side, though, is that I have had some interesting projects going on lately. One thing that wasn't a project is I served on a jury recently, and that was a very interesting experience. It was a murder trial that took place November 20th, 1969. So if I haven't told you about it, feel free to ask me about it in person or online or whatever, and I'm happy to tell you a little bit more about that. Not really frugal related, although maybe I'll have to do some tips on frugal jury service, because there are some things you can do to optimize your experience. The other thing that is going on is the new book I am working on. And this new book is a fiction book. So if you want to be a beta reader to that, reach out to me as well. And I may be able to get you a beta copy of the book for your feedback. All right. Well, thanks for listening to this week's episode. I hope you have a great month. And as always, stay frugal.